This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Now, between the 16th of October and the 14th of November, independent think tank the Australia Institute and the LGBTI National Health Alliance run a questionnaire as part of a study to assess the effects of the postal survey on the LGBTQ community and its allies.
The study examines associations between exposure to negative messages, stress, coping and psychological distress. Over 9,500 people responded, with 75% of them identifying as LGBTIAQ+, and 25% identifying as friends, family and other supporters.
Today, the primary results from the survey were released, and to discuss these results, we're joined by Ebony Bennett, the Deputy Director of the Australia Institute. Thanks for coming on the show, Ebony.
G'day, thanks for having me.
So tell us about, what are the key results?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank the lesbian, gay, bi, trans, intersex and queer community for really backing this survey, participating at what we now know was an incredibly difficult time for a lot of people. And the response has just been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it really goes to show, exactly, and it really goes to show how much I think people really did need an opportunity to express how this debate has affected them. And we can see that most respondents said they experienced negative messages about their community or same-sex marriage at least daily, particularly online and in TV. More than 90% of people said the debate would have a negative impact on them to some degree. But really, the most disturbing results to me were the reports of verbal and physical assaults doubling in, or more than doubling, in the 3 months after the announcement of the postal survey as in the previous 6 months. So obviously that's hugely concerning, and it does point to the real negative impacts on this community during this time. So, yeah, we were just, you know, the results were really phenomenal, and they're going to take many more months to go through in full. But, yeah, we can see it's had a major negative impact and has been quite a stressful event for this community.
Some news outlets, including the one in particular, The Guardian, has called those some of these results, including that which you mentioned about a spike in verbal and physical assaults, shocking. But I suppose, given that we have seen similar spikes in hate crimes against communities that were targeted during campaigns such as Brexit and even the US presidential election, were these results really surprising?
Perhaps only in scope. I think a lot of the gay and lesbian community had warned that this is exactly the type of thing that they were concerned about by instituting the National Postal Survey. So I don't think it comes necessarily as a shock that these things happen, but perhaps the scope and the intensity of those types of things is still shocking, and I would hope would be shocking to the community. I do think, apart from the negative impact, perhaps the upside was that a majority of both the queer community and their allies, their friends and family, are really resilient. Obviously, it's a community that deals a lot with discrimination, has higher levels of mental health issues and depression and things like that. But they really responded to these types of, you know, physical and verbal assaults, the negative messages, by really getting much more involved in the community.
Yeah, so the results say nearly 80% were more participatory, so more likely to go to marches or to hang out with their community
to help raise awareness. You know, displaying rainbow images in their workplace or their homes, those types of things. So people really responded by, I think, going back to their support networks, getting much more involved in the gay and lesbian community, and getting much more involved in the campaign itself. So, you know, I think it's interesting that the results don't necessarily just portray all the negative things that happened as part of this debate, but also the resilience and the positivity of the community as well.
So, depending where you lived or which part of the LGBTQ community you come from, I think different challenges were faced. This is just the first part of the findings, but are you able to say much at this point about whether people from trans people or intersex people or people in rural areas, were there particular parts that really felt this terrible survey?
Or if there were different, like, you know, and how different obstacles may have faced. For example, trans, intersex and bisexual people were often are removed from conversations around the debate or excluded from messages of support. And trans and intersex people particularly were often the focus of fear-mongering campaigns by the no side. So does when you look into the breakdowns, can we expect to see some kind of idea of if individual areas within the community experience things differently?
Yes, we certainly hope so. Not in these preliminary results, but because we did allow respondents to identify how they chose to identify, it's going to take us a little bit more time to sift through all the data and make sure we're getting all that accurately. But certainly I think we're expecting that some of that more specific experiences of different parts of the community will be able to be shown in a greater picture in the full results. And we've also got a huge number of free text responses where we allow people to kind of relate their experiences. And, you know, that's going to take a huge amount of time to analyse and sift through as well. But we had reports of people, you know, quitting their job, for example, because their work environment was not supportive. Other people reported just not watching commercial television at all because they're alarmed and distressed by the number of anti-LGBTI ads that were showing during the debate. So I think, you know, there's a huge amount of data. And again, I would really like to thank the community for participating so much and to such a great degree in this survey, because hopefully when we do manage to get to the final results, you know, there will be a lot to draw out of it and a lot that can help the community when we have stressful events like this.
Yes.
And partly the reason why we undertook the study is because we know that these types of stressful incidents, you know, have had a negative impact overseas when similar types of debates have happened.
So, I mean, you spoke to you had contact with almost 10,000 people from the community. That's super. It sounds like one of the largest pieces of work that have looked at the impact of the survey, and I guess there's other work out there as well. But as you say, you know, when people have put so much into it, what can we expect ultimately to get out of this as a community? Is it that we get better services, or we can advocate for more mental health work? What do you think? Where do you think we could be going with this? Because this is really powerful evidence, isn't it?
Yeah, so the study does build on international studies which have shown the significant impact of these types of debates. And we've got both, as you said, the quantitative and qualitative you know, experiences of people through it. And we are hoping that it will lead to some real insights that will help either design better services or better policy responses. And to make sure that, you know, as much positive can come out of this debate as possible, and that services, mental health services, future policy debates, are designed, you know, in a more positive way, I guess.
I would definitely like to think so, though. I suppose this is very similar to studies that came out of Ireland last year that we, you know, were shown to the government, which did not unfortunately seem to have a particularly large effect on their decision to go forward with a public debate. But I suppose in the upcoming days, we are seeing some pushing for the government to put the excess money from the Protocol Survey into mental health support. This could, having some hard facts and figures is never a bad thing. So these are just, our listeners would like to access this information, just the primary results, is there an area they can go to? Do they need to send an email in? Where could they find this information?
Yeah, if they just go to tai.org.au, it should be one of the first things that comes up on our website and available for anyone, or please feel free to email the Australia Institute and we can send the report to you. But it is freely available on our website, as will the full results be when they're finished. And we are hoping to publish in some academic journals as well. And you've made a very good point. You know, often all the evidence in the world can't make politicians improve things, but with the debate currently in the House and, you know, talk of amendments that would expand discrimination based upon religious, you know, affiliations and beliefs, I think it's really important that we do focus on the discrimination that the lesbian and gay community have experienced for many decades, and specifically when it comes to marriage, and really focus on the people who this is going to have the most impact on, and that is the lesbian, gay, intersex, trans, bi community. So I think that's really important. That's where the focus of the debate and parliamentarians should be.
But do you think, when can we expect the full results? I can imagine it will take a lot of time to sift through 9,500 individual responses. But so is this something we can expect to see in the new year, February, or is this more of an Easter kind of a treat to look forward to?
Yeah, look, it's hard to say at this point, but we're expecting it will be a number of months. But absolutely, we're happy to come back on when we're done and let everyone know about the full results.
We'll definitely hold you to that. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ebony. We do really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.